All right, if you wish to follow along, we're back in Genesis again, Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. Most of you probably know this, maybe not all of you, but several years ago, we were given a cassette tape of a Jewish gentleman, and he preached on this subject. And I thought about it for years, and I've actually preached on this subject, I think, maybe in North Carolina and also up at Millsite. And several of you have already heard my subject, but I've never preached it here. So I want to preach it here, especially since we've been in Genesis for several weeks now. Genesis chapter 5, and I'll just read a few verses. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Genesis chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name, you see it? And called their name Adam. The male and the female both were called Adam. In the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. So you have Adam, you have Seth. Verse 6, and Seth lived 105 years. It's a long time.
Yeah.
Far longer than God later promised.
Yeah.
God, I say, shouldn't say promise. God declared that a man at, you know, 70, what is it,
70 years.
And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. So you have Adam, Seth, Enos. Verse 9. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Cainan. Verse 12. And Cainan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. Verse 15. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. Verse 18, and Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch. Verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Verse 25, and Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. Verse 28, and Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. You all are certainly aware of this. If anyone happens to, by God's sovereign providence, to hear this message in another venue, in another way, I say this mainly for you, but it's needful for all of us to be reminded of it. Scripture is full of important names.
Yes, sir.
And meanings.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying that what I'm going to do here this morning is true of every genealogical record in the Scripture. It's not. But there's a sentence here in the meanings of these names. We know the importance of names. Abram. Something like high father or lofty father. And then God changed his name to Abraham,
yes,
which means loftier high father of a multitude.
Yeah.
And for us Gentiles, we ought to rejoice in God for that.
Amen.
We know the word Isaac, it means laughter. Laughter. Jacob means supplanter.
Yeah.
You know of the word? The word is used sometimes in Scripture for God. Jehovah Jireh. These have specific meanings. They're not different gods.
No, sir.
But they are different aspects or characteristics or attributes of God. And that's why these different names are given. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom, which means God is our peace. And I will say this, most importantly, is the name Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Or, we might say, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That is, Messiah, the Anointed One, our Savior.
Amen.
Not he wants to be anyone's Savior.
Exactly.
He is the Savior.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
We read that in Matthew chapter 1, thou shalt call his name Jesus, because his name has meaning.
Yes, sir.
For he shall save his people from their sins.
Amen.
Belief is believing he either did that or he did not.
That's right.
He didn't come to make it possible that anyone be saved. He came to save his people Amen. From their sins.
Amen.
The meanings of these pre-flood names have a vital message. And the message that the meanings of these names give is the message of this whole book. From Genesis chapter 1, all the way through the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament, to the last verses of Revelation chapter 22. There is one message in this book.
Yes, sir.
And we see this message in these antediluvian names. Not antediluvian, antediluvian names. Names. That's the title. Those antediluvian names. So let's look at them. They form a sentence. And God called their name. And remember that.
Yeah.
I know there are those who, our society is so individualistic. And the equality of the races and the equality of males and females is a big thing in our society. And I'm not here to preach for or against that. I'm just making a statement.
Yeah.
But when God Almighty originally created man, he created man, male and female.
There you go.
And he called their name man.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who doesn't like that doesn't know God.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to be called by my head's name.
Amen.
I, as a part of the bride of Christ, I want his name on me.
Amen. That's it.
And called their name, God says, Adam. The word Adam means, of course, it could be, you know, several different things, but it means to show blood in the face. To blush, we might say. And you think about that. There is no other creature on the face of God's green earth, and no scientist nor anyone else will be able to ever prove it different. Blushing, that is to show blood in the face, is a new, uniquely human trait.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a uniquely human trait. The word can be translated, that is, the word Adam can be translated, man.
Amen.
Man, that's the first word of the sentence, man. And remember, man was the crowning glory of God's six-day creation, male and female, not just male,
but
male and female, and he made them to be one flesh.
Yeah.
He called their name Adam. Adam said, she's woman, for she's taken out of me. God called their name man.
Amen.
There are those in our day that get upset when preachers preach, and we always talk about man, if a man, if a man. And they say we ought to be more considerate of people. Well, let me tell you something, man fail.
Yes, sir.
Man fail, male and female.
That's right.
Man fail, male and female together, when the man sinned.
That's right. There you go.
When the man sinned. And now, man in and of himself, male and female, has no crowning glory.
That's right.
None. And the scripture says, honor the king is talking simply about giving respect, not to men, but to God's ordained order. That's what it's about. You honor the king. Why? Because God put that king there. Not because that king's some great crown thing.
Yeah.
You see, all of this book is about the truth of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And the crowning glory, as far as Jesus Christ is concerned, when it comes to the Father, was he submitted himself to the Father's will.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Excuse me. So first word is man. Second, it says, and called his name, that is Adam, called his son's name Seth. Seth. Seth, this is what your name means. It means the root word of it. And if you ever you go to your concordance, you'll find it. But you got to go look at the root words too, not just the word itself, not just Seth or Adam or whatever. The root word means to place or to appoint or to substitute. And it's actually the definition of the name is actually given. It's given by Eve, if you look at it in chapter 4. She said this. She said these words. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me, you see, there it is, another seed, there's the substitute, someone in the place of another seed, instead of Abel, whom Cain slew.
Amen.
This is amazing. Because this gives us absolute revelation from God's word that Eve was looking for that promised seed.
Yes, sir.
Because she didn't. She called his name Seth, which means to place or appoint or substitute. But she said, God, she didn't say God gave me another man, though that was true.
Yeah.
And her words was, God hath given me another seed.
That's right. Amen.
Seed. What is that seed? It's the seed of the Messiah, the promised one that God had just told them about would come and crush the serpent's head.
Amen.
And I have reason to think even this. She may have thought Abel was him. But turned out she knew better. But when she got this other man, because remember the seed is called a he.
That's right.
Correct?
Yeah.
When he is come,
yep,
he will crush the serpent's head. And she said, God hasn't forsaken his promise.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Amen.
Huh? Had another male never been born, we would have all went to hell.
You're right.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So far, then, our sentence is this. Man, appointed substitute. Thirdly, and Seth lived and begat Enos. Enos. Now, oftentimes in Scripture, we know this. Oftentimes, parents would name a child because of some experience the woman may have had in pregnancy. Oftentimes, they may name a child because of some experience after the birth. Sometimes they may name a child in hope or expectation of the truth and promise of God. But think about this. Seth lived and begat Enos, which means feeble or frail. If you look at some of the word, looking at all of its roots, you can see it can be translated this way. Mortal.
Yeah.
Mortal. Mortal means this simply, subject to death.
Yeah, that's right.
We live in mortal bodies.
Yes, sir.
And these bodies, apart from the return of the Lord Jesus Christ first, every one of our bodies will go back to where it came.
Yeah.
And you and I cannot. I said we cannot escape that. People say, well, we found mummified mummies, thousands of years old. Yeah, but even they didn't have their inward parts. They had to jerk those out and put them in canisters.
That's right.
Because they knew you can't preserve even, they were only preserving bone and meat, and it's nothing but a dried up husk. Mason, it still went back to the dust.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Still went back to the dust. Now, as with Seth, Enos has a extra gleaning. There's three of them, actually. Seth, Enos, and Enoch. One of three. Look at chapter 4, verse 26. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son. Now, these two, verse 25 and 26, are given us even before the genealogy is spelled out. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. And this is an astounding statement. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. We could say it this way, then and then only, because that's the inference of the word. Think about this. Then began men to what? Call upon the name of the Lord. Let us not fall into the trap of thinking these Old Testament men and women who believed God, all they did was offer a few animal sacrifices, said a few prayers, and then went out about their everyday life not really knowing who God is. These people were passing the truth of God on, who God is, what he's done. He's the creator. He's the sovereign. He's the one who promised us redemption through the seed that was to come. And they're passing this on, and all of a sudden they begin to what? Call on the name of the Lord. And you remember what Paul said, and this is a truth that is true from the first man that ever lived, Adam, to the last man that will ever live. You cannot call on one. You cannot call on one that you don't know.
There you go.
You can't. You can't believe in someone you've never been informed about.
Yes, sir. That's right.
The gospel must be preached.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was preached even before there was the written word of God. And there were faithful men and women passing this on to their offspring.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because this is their only hope.
That's right.
I mean, I can just imagine some of these people lived a long time. They were around one another. And I can only imagine, Joe, Adam and Eve recalling the garden.
Yeah.
Hmm? Yeah. But here's another one. Then began men to call on the name of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Now, I've got to not so much qualify, but don't just listen to everything I've got to say here. It's only when men and women are revealed their mortality before God that they will ever call upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Only then. Only then. Because our physical mortality is proof of our spiritual death.
Yes, sir.
The reason we physically die is because we spiritually died in Adam in the garden.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That's right.
Amen.
And no man or woman ever truly, you can repeat his name, but we're not talking about repeat this prayer after me.
Exactly.
We're not talking about quoting God's name.
Yeah.
We're not talking about speaking his name and thinking it's going to do something for you like you rub a lucky rabbit's foot. We're talking about calling on one that you know. Calling upon one that revealed himself to you. There are a lot of people in this world who have never seen they're sick.
Yeah.
Therefore, they don't need a cure.
Yeah. You're right.
And that's why they don't call on the name of the Lord.
Yeah. You're right.
There are a lot of people in this world, even though they are sinners in God's sight, they're not a sinner in their own sight. God knew I was a sinner before I was even born, Joe, because by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners.
Amen.
The problem is, by nature, we reject that. We reject that. And we say things like, I'm not that bad. Or we pick out another individual that is maybe overtly a little more outwardly evil than we are, and we seek to justify ourselves in that. A man will never, ever be healed by God. He will never, ever call upon the name of God unless God first wounds him, wounds her, and makes them to see their mortality before God.
Amen.
A lot of people have been saved, has never been lost. And I say that with a little tongue in cheek. You understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
Let me say it more precisely. A lot of people think they're saved,
yeah,
but they've never been lost. And God's never saved one saved man. You don't have to save a saved man.
Exactly.
God saves lost men and women.
Amen.
There was a lady that told Henry Mahan. They were talking. I don't even know what all it was about. But she told Henry these words. This is what she said. I've been saved all my life. And Henry's answer was to her was, ma'am, that's too long. Now people think, oh, that's just great, been saved. No, you ain't. If you were saved all your life, you'd never been lost. And Christ said, I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Amen.
Enos, mortal, frail, feeble, no strength.
Yeah.
Then and then only will men begin to call on the name of the Lord. A lot of people are being coaxed down aisles and to some man-made so-called altar to pray some prayer and say, Jesus, save me. And it's no more than praying to my pet dog at home.
Exactly.
Because God Almighty is going to wound you before he ever kills you. He's going to put your face in the dust, bowing before him before he ever exalts you.
Amen.
God's going to make you to see your loss before he ever saves you.
Yeah, that's right.
If you've never been lost, you ain't never been saved.
Amen. That's it.
Now, I'm not talking about, well, I know we're all sin. I'm not talking about God brings me down.
Yeah.
A personal pushing of my face in the dirt before God.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people believe in total depravity, but never have experienced total depravity by the grace of God. Now, I know some people may not like that statement, and that's not blaming God. No, sir. The old songwriter put it this way. A sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost hath made him so.
Amen.
Because we're so sinful by nature, we don't realize how sinful we are.
Exactly.
That's it.
Yes, sir.
And even if we get a little inkling of it, if God gives even just a little bit of physical, mental light, we reject it.
Yeah.
We start making excuses. Remember about the three sins that we all realize. Guilty of?
Yeah.
So, here's what we have. Man, appointed substitute, mortal. But then it says, and Enos lived and begat Canaan. Canaan means fixed. Fixed. Let me put it to you this way. In our appointed substitute, our state, our chamber, our dwelling place, our nest, our habitation is fixed.
Yeah.
Fixed. You and I cannot change what we are before God.
That's right. Exactly.
There is not one good thing we can do to change what we are.
That's exactly right.
The problem with us, we're so bad that the more good we try to do, the more evil we end up committing. To where God says this in the person of the Son, that which is highly esteemed among men. And you know the context? Man's own personal righteousness.
Yeah,
personal
right.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Philanthropy. Helping others.
Yeah.
Quoting Bible to folks and going to their bed when they're sick.
Yeah.
And he said, that which is highly esteemed among men is what?
Yeah.
An abomination in God's sight.
Yeah.
That's scary.
So
much so that even years before our Lord came along, the prophet Isaiah was moved to say this, that even our righteousnesses, that's not a overblowing the case. He's telling the truth like it is, that even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags.
Amen.
In God's sight.
Amen.
Man, in the appointed substitute, has a mortal habitation. And I say we cannot change that. We cannot change it. Go back and read Romans 5 again. Look at it. Here's a note. And Canaan lived and begat Mahalalel. His name means the praise of God. Isn't that amazing that these Old Testament saints didn't even have a Bible, yet they were naming their children things like the praise of God.
Amen.
Now, not that he is the praise of God, but I figure it was in hopes of he will praise God. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I don't know that absolutely. I don't. But his name means the praise of God. Ma Hallelel. Man in the appointed substitute has mortal habitation, but the praise of God. Yeah. Now see, usually if you say that in most places, what do men begin to think about? What? How do they begin already in their mind to imagine the rest of the sentence? They think about what we do.
Yeah, you're right.
Our praising God. Am I right or wrong? Am I being mean about them? Am I building the straw man? No, when they talk about praise, the praise of God, they talk about our praise to God. Now, we ought to praise God.
Yes, sir.
Do not get me wrong. But even my praise of God as a regenerated person is still filled with sin.
Amen.
And wickedness. Yeah. Everything I do is tainted by me. I don't even have to do anything else, Mason. Just whatever I do, even if it's praising God, it is tainted by me.
Yes, sir.
Because of what I am. Man in the appointed substitute has mortal habitation but the praise of God. And then it says, though, and Mahalalel lived and begat Jared. Jared means a descent to come down. I like this word. It can be translated this way, to condescend.
There you go.
Ah, now does the sentence make a little more sense? Huh? Man is in his appointed substitute, that it was Adam. Man is in his appointed substitute, has a mortal habitation, but the praise of God shall condescend. This lets me know this ain't about something I do. This is about someone else.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the praise of God.
Amen.
I do not mean this in any kind of irreverent way. He is the Mahalalel.
Yes, sir.
He is the Mahalalel.
Amen.
Why? Why is it Christ? And Jared lived and begat Enoch.
Yeah.
Why? Did the praise of God come down?
Yes, sir.
Why did the praise of God condescend? As many church buildings as you pass on your way to home, if you was to go into there, you'll probably get that many different answers as to why Jesus Christ condescended.
Yeah.
He condescended to show us how things ought to be, how you ought to live. There is no doubt he showed us how we ought to live.
Yes, sir.
But that wasn't the reason why he condescended.
No, you're right.
God, if you look through even this book of the Genesis, look through the book before Moses even penned the first word of inspired writing, God was teaching men how to live.
Yeah.
He was correcting them when they fouled up. Was he not? Huh?
Yeah.
No, that's not it. Well, here's why. And Jared lived and begat Enoch. You know what Enoch means? When you first read it, you just look up Enoch, it means to narrow.
Yeah.
Okay, well that doesn't make much sense. Mm-hmm. Until God turns the light on.
Yeah. There you go.
It's to narrow in this way. It's in the sense of it, if you look at the other ways in which it can be translated, it's to narrow down as to initiate or to discipline or to teach. Yes, he came to teach.
Yes, sir.
Yes, he came to teach. But his teaching was narrow teaching.
That's right.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I'll just give you this one verse. There are some people, Paul says to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:7, if you want to look it up sometime, that are ever learning. So they're being taught.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Ever learning. Well, that sounds like a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's teaching them, they're learning. Ever learning, but here's the problem. And never able to come to a knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
You can know all kinds of facts and moralities and righteousnesses from this Bible. But if you miss the true teaching of Jesus Christ in his condescension, you've missed it all.
Amen.
We talked a little bit about this yesterday. When Christ preached the Sermon on the Mount, you know what he's preaching? Human depravity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now he's setting the standard.
Yeah.
He's not talking about our depravity. He sets the standard.
Exactly.
Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect.
Yeah.
You know what that does to a true, bona fide, open-eyed sinner?
Yeah.
Spiritually open-eyed sinner? That puts me in the dirt.
Yeah.
Because I can't be. So what do we do, though? By nature, we try to lessen the standard to fit us rather than realizing I don't fit God. You see, Christ's teaching was always, I don't care if Christ was talking. No, but I don't care. When John the Baptist told those certain men, he said, you do no harm to anybody and you don't complain about your wages. He's preached. What's he talking about? Submission to God Almighty.
Yes, sir.
That's what he's talking about. And we hate submission. Submission's up there at the top of our list of things we don't like.
Oh, yeah.
Is to submit to God Almighty. That's why that's why people love free will so much. They want to worship themselves.
Yeah.
Their will. And even the Lord of glory prayed. It boggles my mind. Not my will, but thine be done. Mason, if he wasn't looking to his own will, why in God's name would I look to mine?
Exactly.
Why would I look to mine? Mahalaleel begat Jared. Jared begat Enoch. Now here's the third thing. Look at it. Look at this little one here. Verse 24. And Enoch walked with God and was not. For God took him.
Amen.
God just snatched him out. This is meaning. The meaning in the Hebrew is he didn't die. Everybody else died.
Yeah.
It says they died. Read it. Yes. It's there. I didn't read all of it. It's there. They died. Enoch didn't die.
That's right.
Now I have no idea if these people understood what this means. But we know what this means now, don't you? The greatest majority of people, God's people, will die.
Yes, sir.
But not all.
Amen.
Not all. There will be some living when Jesus Christ comes again. And this time when he comes, he will not come condescending.
That's right.
He will come and will show who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The potentate. He's going to show it. But they're going to be a few people. Now, it may be a large number if you got them all together right now. But basically, there will be some that will be snatched up.
Yes, sir.
Snatched up. Now, I don't care what you believe about some of the details about the return of Christ. If you don't believe that one, you're just rejecting what the book says. Because Paul said, we shall not all sleep.
That's right.
But we shall all be changed. And the dead in Christ shall raise first. And everyone who's alive that's in Christ will be what? Changed. Like that. That quick.
Yes, sir.
Twinkling of eye. Changed. Caught up.
Yeah.
Caught up.
Amen.
Isn't that glorious?
I
know that we preachers and believers sometimes we debate on, well, would you rather die or rather go up? Well, I'm the one who'd rather go up. I'm just that much of a chicken. I have to admit to you. I'm not saying that's right. I would just soon Christ come today and, as I told some of you earlier, get this thing over with. We'll be done with it. But either way,
amen.
To die or to be changed and called up like that, if you're in Christ, it don't matter.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Because that's in God's hands.
Yes, sir.
You know that?
Yeah.
That's in God's hands. But here it is. Here's a question. What is the truth that the praise of God condescended to teach?
Yes, sir.
And Enoch lived, it says, and begat Methuselah. Now, sadly, most of us, especially most those of us who were in false Christianity, most of us know the name of Methuselah. We went to Sunday school and we were taught about Methuselah. And what do we know about Methuselah? They didn't care nothing about teaching me what Methuselah's name meant, just that he was the oldest man ever recorded in the Bible.
Exactly. That's it.
Now, most of you probably heard that too.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's a fact.
It is true.
But that ain't going to help you out squat.
Nope.
Exactly.
Other than to realize this, you go back and do the math. And I'm not going to, I did it all. I did the math. But I'm going to show it to you because it doesn't matter. I don't remember it, and you wouldn't remember it either.
Yeah.
But you take when Methuselah was born, and you look at the time frame, the very year that Methuselah died, water began to rain down from heaven.
Yes, sir.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Because here's the thing. Enoch lived and begat Methuselah. Methuselah means, if you just translated it just out simply, to be a missile. Well, we know it's not a missile as we think of missiles. You know, rocket-powered ordnance going, no. What it means is an arrow or a spear, a missile. Throw a missile, a spear. If you look at the way some of the old Hebrews translated it, it would be a man who attacks or a man who is attacked.
Yeah.
Either way. Methuselah. Literally, it's a man of the dart. A man of the dart. But seeing that it could mean either way, it's one who pierces through or one who is pierced through. And our Methuselah, Jesus Christ, is both. Because when Methuselah died, God saved 8 people that he purposed to save before the world began.
Amen.
And when Methuselah died, God judged the rest of the world. Amen. All at the same time.
Amen.
The rain fell on Noah and them. They just happened to be in the ark, Joe.
Amen. That's it.
Huh?
That's right.
The judgment was coming down all around Noah and his sons and his wife and his daughter-in-law, was it not? And all the animals in the ark. But bless God, they were in the ark. And the day that our Methuselah died, the day that Jesus Christ died, all judgment of both kinds was settled right then and there.
Amen.
You got that? Those that would be saved and those who would not be saved. And none of us, and none of us deserve to be saved.
That's right.
Amen. None of us deserve to be saved. This is the message of Scripture. This is the message of every prophet. This is the message of Jesus Christ. This is the message of the Holy Spirit. This is the message of all God-sent preachers. That Jesus Christ came into this world to be pierced through.
Amen.
Jesus Christ came into this world to suffer. And it says he was obedient unto death, but not death in a bed. Not like Jacob, just turning over his head. Basically, that's what it said Jacob did. He turned over his head to the wall and just left. Even the death of the cross. And he was pierced through literally.
Yes, sir.
Was he not?
Yeah.
Pierced through literally. But what did he teach? This is what he taught. Think about it. Remember, here's the sentence so far. Man, in the appointed substitute, has mortal habitation, but the praise of God shall condescend teaching. And we know what he taught.
Yes, sir.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man. That means no man, no woman, no young, old, doesn't matter. No man cometh unto the Father, but, and then the word is, not just through me, through him still is true, but it's by me.
Amen.
He had to bring us there. Paul read the scripture. He brought us to God. How? Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And Joe, he went up and sat down. If I was in him, I'm sitting there too.
Amen.
That's it. But here's the question. Who does he teach? Now, anybody who thinks that God's teaching everybody, as you got your, you're the proverbial ostrich and you are sticking your head in the sand.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and Methuselah lived and begat Lamech. I heard this fella, that Jewish fella, years ago, and he had a couple pretty good explanations, but I think that this, the Lamech's name has no meaning that we're aware of. And that's almost like that just throws a whole kink in the whole sentence, don't it? We got a name here that we don't even know what the meaning is. But doesn't that say something? Lamech's name is basically, he's a nobody. His name don't mean anything. He's a nothing. He's a nobody. He's corrupt. He's vile. He's mortal. He's sinful. He's everything that we are, and his name don't even give him any credit for that. He's nothing. And what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Oh, you know it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, listen to what Paul said. And I want to read this because I don't want to get this one wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many. Now it doesn't say not any, but not many. And the book says not many. You can guarantee it's not many.
There you go, that's right.
And somebody says, well, that ain't fair. We ain't talking about fair. We're talking about God.
Yeah, there you go.
Not many wise men. You see it? After the flesh. Not many mighty, and we can say what? Men. That's the meaning. He uses it one time, but he lets us know. I'm talking about people, not things.
Exactly.
For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God don't even call them.
Amen.
He didn't. How many did he call into that ark? Eight.
There you go.
And eight only.
Amen.
But God hath chosen the what? The foolish. You see? The foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty and base. That's what I am. Can you take your place there?
There you go.
Then there's hope for you. There's hope for you. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which, so it says, are not.
There you go.
Nothing's. Nobody's. I usually, when I preach this message before, I usually start it off with, I don't know what my name means. Some people say it means noble king. Others say it means chicken thief. I don't know. I'm tongue in cheek again, folks. You know, don't take it too literally. I'm a nobody. No matter what my name physically means, I'm a Lamech. Oh, God, continually remind me that I'm a Lamech. Because if you ever get over being a Lamech, you'll start to get over needing Jesus Christ. Now, you hear what I'm saying? And you will not be one that endures unto the end. And those who die, they must die in faith.
Amen.
And those who will be changed when Christ comes back, they must be in Christ when he comes back. Now, I'm not saying you can get out of Christ. I'm just saying if you never get to where you don't need Jesus Christ absolutely, then you've never been in him to start with.
Amen.
You never really needed him to start with.
That's it.
Because when God Almighty shows you what you are, and God Almighty shows you who Jesus Christ is, you can never get over it if God did that work.
Amen.
And Methuselah begat Lamech. Well, it says in Lamech begat a son, and called his name Noah. And here's one of the other. Chapter 5, verse 29. It talks about 29, rest. Comfort, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what it says? Rest or comfort. Now, let's look at the sentence then. Here is the gospel, folks.
Yeah.
And here's the gospel in sentence form. Right here in this fifth chapter of the book of Genesis. From these old folk way back yonder.
Yes, sir.
Here it is. This is the gospel. Man, in the appointed substitute, has mortal habitation. But the praise of God shall condescend, teaching that his piercing through shall bring the nothings comfort.
Amen.
Rest. You see, if that message don't bring you comfort, if it don't bring you rest, God's never done anything for you yet.
Amen.
I pray he does.
Amen.
I pray he does. Why this message? Why all of these Genesis messages? Think about it. Even more. Maybe even some more Genesis messages. Here's why. The message, and I mean this, the message of all this book is this. And you've seen it. I've tried to preach it. Every one of these messages. Why? Because it's there. If God's given you eyes to this past series of Genesis, it's there in every message, everything I talked about in these first five chapters so far. Here's what's in this book. Here's the whole message of this book. Man is ruined by the fall.
Amen.
He didn't just get a bump or a bruise.
There you go.
He is full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores from the crown of my head all the way up here, all the way down to the soles of my feet. I'm nothing but rot before God.
Exactly.
Ruined by the fall. Redemption by Christ's blood.
Amen.
That was the main difference between Abel's sacrifice and Cain's sacrifice.
Yes, sir.
It wasn't one that was just animal, one was a vegetable. It was blood.
Amen.
It was blood. God had showed Adam and Eve from the get-go when he clothed them with coats of skins. Blood must be shed.
Amen.
Blood must be shed. Blood! And without the shedding of blood, Paul said, there is no remission.
Amen.
Ruined by the fall. Redemption by Christ's blood. Regeneration by God's Spirit. Even the first message we've seen, and the Spirit of God hovered. over the face of the what? Deep, where it was nothing but dark.
That's right.
Huh? Dark. Regeneration by God's Spirit. But it don't end with that. Regeneration is not an end in itself.
That's right.
We're born of God to see, but we're also born of God to what? Enter.
Amen.
The kingdom of God.
Amen.
Regeneration is a one-time act, but it has a glorious ongoing, and that's conversion by the gospel.
Yes,
everyone who's ever been regenerated going to be converted by the gospel.
Yeah.
Even these folks here who believe God were converted by that gospel. And God is saying to us, Joe, he's saying to us, this is my message. He's telling it to us over and over and over and over and over, isn't he? Over and over and over again.
Yes, sir.
Folks, that and that alone is the message of this book. I don't care what subject it goes into, that's the message of this book. I don't care if it's talking about husbands and wives, that's still the message of this book. I don't care if it's talking about servants, obey your masters, that's the message of this book. I don't care if it's talking about honor the king. That's the message of this book.
Yes, sir.
Because you can see, if you see all of those things and you don't see Jesus Christ and who he is and what he done, you've missed it all.
Missed it all.
All right, let's stand and sing. Number 67.